There is a Gemara in Adorim, I think it's around Daf Lamed Ches, where the Gemara says that originally the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was a Matana to Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't have to give everything to Bnei Yisrael. He had to teach Bnei Yisrael the bottom line, Halacha L'maaseh, Kitzu Shulchan Aruch, the Dinim. And Pilpula Shel Torah, how to read in between the lines, and how to darshan the psukim, and how to develop what the psak halacha is, that was given a matana to Moshe, and he had the right to keep it and preserve it only for his children, his grandchildren. He didn't have to share it with Klal Yisrael. If that would have been the case, if that would have been what happened, then we would only have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah to sit and learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and no one would have the right to paskin any shalos, only the descendants of Moshe Rabbeinu, who had what the Gemara calls pilpula shel Torah. So the Gemara said Moshe Rabbeinu was a good-hearted fellow. He was a Toivayan, and he decided to share it with the rest of Bnei Yisrael. Then it's in his commentary on Chumash, as in the beginning of Chumash Devarim, when did this happen? When did Moshe Rabbeinu share it with Bnei Yisrael? So he suggests that it was right there, the month before he passed away. You know, he was going to die on Zayin Adar. He was born on Zayin Adar. He died on Zayin Adar. So a month before, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So, Hoel Moshe Be'eres HaTorah HaZos Lemor, and so on. That was when he transmitted the whole Torah Shabbal Peh to Bnei Yisrael with the whole Pilpula Shel Torah. So we see today, in all the yeshivas, the main emphasis is placed on the part of the Torah that was not supposed to be given to us. And the original plan one, wasn't going to be given to us at all. That was going to be for Moshe Rabbeinu and his descendants. And we de-emphasize the learning of the bottom line, the maskan halacha l'maaseh, the kitzur shulchan aruch. Nobody learns the bottom line halacha l'maaseh. The joke was in Slabodka, they started this attitude. The shiurim were only on the seven mesichtas. They decided that seven major mesichtas, Yibamis, Ksubas, Git, Mekidushin, and then Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Masa. So the shiurim, that's what you learn be'iyun. And everything else you learn be'kiyas. You run through it. So you learn Ksubas, Yibamis, and so on. Those seven mesichtas, you're not going to know how to lay tefillin. You don't know how to say Havdalah. You won't know a basic dinim. That was a big problem because of this attitude of Slabodka. In Volozhin, they didn't have that style. Volozhin, they went straight from Brachas to Nida. They covered approximately a blood gemara every day in the shiur. Then they went weiter. You look in the Meroi Mesorah, the shiurim of the Netziv. So he has dates on every shiur that he gave. He gave the shiurim in the shiur. He went straight. He went from Brachas and straight. They went to Nida. Then it went back again. Took 7 years, whatever. Daf Yomi. Takes 7.5 years to finish. It took around 7.5 years, Mistamna, more than that. I think the end of the period of Volozhin Yeshiva, I think the Netziv, they write, the Netziv gave Shia Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Rab Chaim gave the Shia Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And each year covered approximately a blot Gemara. Then on Shabbos, they chazed the sixth blot. Then the next week, they went again, another six blots. So it took a little more than 7.5 years to finish all of Shas. Then they went. They didn't make a difference between one Mesicht and the other. And the joke was, if you have you buy a chicken and it has a broken leg, and you have shayla, whether it's a treifa, whether you're allowed to eat it, where are you going to look up the din? Ketzer haregel. What ketzer haregel? They didn't know that chulin existed. Not in Lithuania, in Hungary, and in Galicia, in Poland. Everybody learned chulin. The little children, everybody learned chulin. And there in Slabodka, and there in Litte. They didn't learn the main mesichta. So the Chazon Ish was very unhappy about that. The Ika learning is Lasuka Shmaitza Liba de Hilchasa. It was scandalous when a Bacher in Slabodka, when a Bacher, one of the Litvish yeshivas, would be looking something up and would be learning Shulchan Aruch. They'd make fun. Oh, you're going to Rabbanus. Learning Lishma means just to learn, not to know Halach Lamaisa. That's ridiculous. The Gemara considers the highest level of learning. That's what was supposed to, in the original plan, that was supposed to be given to us. And the rest was supposed to be to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Noiga Toiv Asayin. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Tov Ayin Hu Yevarech, he deserves a blessing, while he shared the Torah with us. But the Iker of the Liman HaTorah is supposed to be Halacha L'maaseh, to learn Halacha L'maaseh. People think that the highest level of learning is, when Rabbi Kevegi has a Kasha in the Gilyon HaShas, and he says, Hashem Yoyereinai, and I can say the teretz. That's the halachta v'drachav. I'm saying the Teres HaTer. Baruch Shalom source to give Rabbi Kveis Kash. So the Stipler writes a whole sefer about learning. So he said, that's not the high. That's the icing on the second piece of cake as dessert. The main thing of learning is to learn the sugya, to know what does it say in the Chumash, and what does Rav Meir say, what does Rav Yehuda say, and how does Abai learn, how does Rava learn, and how does Rashi learn Abai, how does Tesis learn Abai, how do we pass on Halacha like Rashi, like Tesis? Saying the Hezberim and the Pulpulim and everything, that's already, that's the dessert. And answering Rabbi Kaveh's Kasha, that's the second piece of dessert. That's the icing on the second piece of cake. Main thing of learning is to learn to cover ground and to learn. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the author of the Tanya, wrote a Shulchan Aruch. So his Shulchan Aruch is basically similar to a Chayodim. In any case, it tells you what the din is. When it's a machlok, it's a shachan etaz. It tells you what he thinks the psak halacha should be and so on. That's most of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is like that. And except for the one section of Hilchas Talmud Torah. There he rewrote the whole Hilchas Talmud Torah because everything in the Rambam is backwards. The Rambam, Hilchas Talmud Torah starts, who's Potter from Talmud Torah? Why do you start who's Potter? First say who's Chayiv, say how much you Chayiv. No, Rambam writes backwards. Very strange. So the Baal HaTanya rewrote everything and he started from scratch. So one of the things that he points out, Rav Chaim Elojen has the same. The Baal HaTanya writes in the Tanya as if he has some kind of a major machloikis with the Vilna Gaon in Kabbalah about what Tzimtzum is. So recently some computer expert in Eretz Yisrael wrote a whole book, Nefesh HaTzimtzum, I think he called it. He showed that there never was a machloikis. There was a misunderstanding. Baal HaTanya thought that the Vilna Gaon disagreed with him. Comes out, they all agree with each other. Everybody says the same thing. If you learn the Nefesh HaChaim, you learn the Tanya, they always say the same thing on all issues. The only difference is the Nefesh HaChaim quotes a Zohar and he doesn't explain it. The Baal HaTanya quotes a Zohar and he explains it. You can understand it better. And he quotes a Gemara that says the same as a Zohar. So the Nefesh HaChaim, he leaves you with a Zohar. Not everybody understands. Baal HaTanya explains it better. So they always say the same thing. So on this point, they both say the same. That there is an obligation to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. Everyone is obligated to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. Another Baal HaTanya, yes, how is that humanly possible? The Gemara in Erevin comments on the Pasuk, Aruch HaMeres Midu Rechovim in Eyam, that it refers to Liman HaTorah. The Torah is so vast, it's impossible for anybody to master the Torah. So how can you say there's a chiv to learn Kol HaTorah Kula? So the Baal HaTanya answers, Aruch HaMeres Midu Rechovim in Eyam means the Omek Havonas HaTorah, you can always go deeper, deeper, deeper. But just the text of the Torah, to read the text of the Torah, it's not so much. You can put the whole Kol HaTorah Kula can be in one bookcase. You don't need a whole library. He says, what's the definition of Kol HaTorah Kula? So he says, Tanakh. Then he says, the Mishnah, the Tosefta, Talmud Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifro, Sifrei, Mechilte, Ramam, and Shulchan Aruch. Not so much. Not so much. No, no. A whole lifetime. You don't have to do it today. We should all have an Arichas Yamim. We have a whole lifetime to learn. You have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. About Tanakh, it's unfortunate. We live, when we all learned the Yeshiva, they de-emphasized the significance of the Tanakh. That's scandalous. Years ago, soon after 1948, soon after HaKamas HaMedina, there was a joint celebration of Yom HaTzmaut in Cleveland, the Mizrahi and the Aguda, both celebrated together. So when they printed in the newspapers, inviting everyone to come to participate, so they had Mrs. Gifter signed on the bottom, encouraging women to come. Rabbi Gifter's wife, who's still alive, she's over 100, I think. She's still with it. She carried on the conversation. She knows what's going on very well. And Rabbi Elimeir Bloch signed. So they wanted the men and the women to come. So I live in Washington Heights by the Yekis. So one of the Yekis sent a letter to Rabbi Elimeir Bloch. How can you celebrate Yom HaTzmaut? We don't believe in Medinas Israel. So I would, if I would be about Meir Bloch, I would throw the letter in the garbage. So he didn't. He responded, and he sent back a letter. So the letter was printed. The letter was printed, a whole story. So he writes in the letter, it's not true. Medinas Israel is part of our religion. There were three things in Europe in the last century before the Second World War. There were three things that the religious Jews ran away from. So one is Zionism, because Zionism The whole movement was by the non-observant Jews, the anti-religious Jews, who were not psychoanalyzing them. This is what they said themselves. They want to found a Medina to take the place of the religion. So once they're going to make a Medina, you don't have to have the religion to be identified as a Jew. So because they were anti-religious, and the whole purpose of the Zionism was to replace the religion, that's why the religious Jews ran away from Zionism. Then he says another thing that the Orthodox Jews ran away, the Bnei Torah ran away from, is Limud HaTanach. Why? Because the Apikursim were giving new interpretations in Tanakh, not according to the traditions of the Torah Shebaal Peh, not according to the traditions of the Gemara. So that's where the Frum Yidden ran away from Tanakh. Then the third one's the mitzvah, the Daber B'Loshan HaKodesh, to speak in Loshan HaKodesh. He quotes the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, and Birkei Avos, HaBizor B'Mitzvah Kala Kavach Amura. What's an example of a mitzvah kala? None of the mitzvahs are too easy. So he says, "Dabe b'loshen hakodesh," that people are mezalzel. The Rambam, people don't realize it's a mitzvah, and they're not careful about it. So who was medactic to speak? Achad Ham is an apikoris. He claims in his autobiography he was a big Talmud Chacham, that he made a siyum hashas, and he knew how to paskin shailas, and the local rabbi used to consult him at the Ragunas when he was young, when he was a teenager. But then afterwards he became an apikoris, and Gansan an apikoris. So because, and they used to write Hebrew essays and deliver their papers in front of a whole group, they were all apikorsim. So because the anti-religious Jews were the ones who were restoring the Lashon HaKodesh, that's why the religious Jews ran away from it. And they said, Lashon HaKodesh is Yiddish. Lashon HaKodesh is not the modern Hebrew. So Rabbi Yemeir Bloch writes, all three are not right. We should take back the Zionism, which is part of our halacha. We should take back Limud HaTanach, and we should take back the Daber B'Lashon HaKodesh, and we should do it according to our tradition. We should learn Tanach according to the Gemara's traditions, and so on. So it's very unfortunate. We're still, when we were learning in the yeshivas, they didn't read Rabbi Yemeir Bloch's instructions. So they didn't emphasize at all. A lot of us don't even know Chumash. That's a big problem. So we should really have to be Mavis Tedra every week. And we should spend a little time learning Tanakh. All Amuna, all Ashkof is based on Tanakh. The Chachmei HaGemara no one can figure out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. How do we know how to fulfill the Halachta B'drachov? You have to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that was instilled within us when we were born. So how do you fulfill that mitzvah Halach B'drachov? So the Rambam writes in the Mishneh Torah, in the Mor Nebuchim, you have to learn Tanakh. Tanakh describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs his world, and that will know how to fulfill the mitzvah of Allah the B'drach. So the only way to understand anything about Malkus is to learn Tanakh. So we have to take it back. It's a big problem. In Limud HaTorah, the Beis HaLevi has in his Tshuvas in Chelek Aleph in the Hakdama, in one of the Tshuvas, he writes that there are two parts of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. One is Olamad Tamos and Mishmartam Lasosam. If you're not going to learn the halachas, you won't know how to observe the mitzvahs. So it's really a heksher mitzvah. This enables me to be mekayim the other 612 mitzvahs. But then there's another mitzvah, to learn Torah, even if you live in Chutz Lo'aretz. And the mitzvahs Hakli Yibzawaretz are not really relevant, except for challah. All the others are not relevant. And Taras Bizman is not relevant. Kemat, it's not relevant. A little bit relevant. The Schach can't be Adab HaMakabal Tumas. So you have to know a little bit about Taras. Hilchas Nidhi, you have to know a little bit of Shein Mekabal Tumah, not Mekabal Ksamah. You have to know a little bit about Taras, but not too much. So even Limud, for those who live in Chutz Lo'aretz, even Limud Zroim and Limud Taras, which is not Halacha L'maisa, there's still a mitzvah to learn it. So that's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma to learn Torah. Limud HaTorah is both a heksher mitzvah, it enables you to fulfill all the other mitzvahs, and it's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. That's what he says. What are the differences? He says, on a heksher mitzvah, one doesn't recite a bracha. The Gemara says, when you tie tzitzis on the beged, are you ready to mekayim a mitzvah? So there's one opinion in the Gemara that's not accepted, that tzitzis is a chayvas beged, chayvas mona. If you have a clay kufsa, if you have a talus in the drawer that has four corners, you're not wearing it, it's chayv and tzitzis already. So when you tie on the tzitzis on the beged, you're ready to mekayim a mitzvah. So you say a bracha when you tie it on. Gemara said, we don't pass like that. We pass from tzitzis to chavis gavra. It's only a mitzvah when you're wearing it. If you're not wearing the beged, so it's not chayim and tzitzis. So therefore, the Gemara says, when you tie the chutim on the beged, you don't say a bracha because the heksha mitzvah, that you're not mekayim the mitzvah now. When you buy a lulav, you don't say a bracha. If you don't have shalachem, you can't be yotze the first 2 days, the first day in each shalachem. But when you tadalun, that's only a hechshe mitzvah, so no bracha is recited. So the Beis HaLevi says, strictly speaking, for women are not mechuyev in Talmud Torah, they're only mechuyev to learn in order to know how to observe the dinim. After the women have to learn hilchas kashrus, they have to learn hilchas Shabbos, they have to learn hilchas taras hamishpach, they have to learn hilchas gzeila, hilchas ainor, the women buy a shetel, and they give it back, they buy dresses, they give it back, they have to know hilchas mekech hamemker, they have to know the dinim. They only have to know abrachel k'shulchan aruch. They're not mechuyev to learn all the gemaras, they're not relevant, they only have to learn the dinim, piskalah. That's abrachel kemat. Much of, they don't have to know hilchas tefillin and hilchas tzitzis. That they're not mechuyev. So they're not mechuyev to learn that. We have to learn kemat the whole shulchan aruch, all the abrachel k'shulchan, everything that's relevant to them, kemat to everything. So the women, strictly speaking, shouldn't have to say a bracha when they learn Torah in the morning because they're not mechuyev. So that's in Shulchan Aruch, it says women do say a bracha. Even the Mechaba says women do say a bracha. So that's a discussion why. The men say a bracha, why? Because by the men, Liman HaTorah is not merely a Hechsha mitzvah to enable them to fulfill the other 612 mitzvahs. But Liman HaTorah is already a Kima mitzvah right now. It's not a Hechsha mitzvah. So if a person is choosing what to learn, a man is deciding which Gemara should he learn. Should he learn brachas or should he learn a Mesich? That's not too relevant. Saita, a Nozer, or something that's not too relevant. So the Pashta says that he should learn the Gemara that's relevant. So you have both Kiyum. He will have a Maratam Osta, Mishmartam, Lasasam, Liya, Heksha, Mitzvah, to enable to fulfill the other Mitzvah. It will be a Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma. Why should he only learn those Mesich that are not relevant and only have the Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma? Why not learn the Mesich? First learn the Mesich that are relevant. Yeah. A kochim is a question. Kochim is a question. Rashi, the Chafetz Chaim, has a whole essay encouraging everyone to learn kochim. And he points out, Rashi in Bava Metzia says that the Talmud Bavli was only written on those mesichtes that were relevant to halacha lemaisa. So there wasn't a Talmud Bavli written not on Zroim and not on Taras. How come there's a Talmud Bavli on kochim? Kochim is not relevant as manazeh. So Rashi in Bava Metzia writes, "Kos kol korei parshas oila kila hikri vaylo." The Gemara learns it from Pesukim. So that's the Chavetz Chaim points out. That's a big machlokes. Is that only by korbanos or is it by any mitzvah? Like I remember years ago when I was a Talmud, they said that when Rav Zevin became an old man and he wasn't able to go to shul, so he missed the Kriyas HaTorah and Sheni Vachamishi. So every Sheni Vachamishi in the morning, he would learn something in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. Because whenever there's a mitzvah that you can't fulfill, like Karbonis, you can't fulfill Karbonis, have no base on Biglish, so you should learn the dinim of Karbonis. So there is such an opinion in Mabit, who was in the, Mabit was together with Rabbi Yosef Kara and the Bezin in Tzvat. I think 98% they agreed on everything. But the 2% that they disagreed, that became famous. The machlokes in between the Mabit and Rabbi Yosef Kara. But I think 98%, otherwise how can they function together on the same Bezin? So the Mabit writes in his Sefer, Beis Elikim, that Gemara applies to any mitzvah that you're not able to fulfill, let's say, under the communists, and they didn't have matzah, and they didn't have any tefillin. So if you learn Hilchas Matzah, Malala Kasa Kila, he ate matzah. Mora, they had a lot of mar, but matzah they didn't have. And whenever there's a mitzvah, you can't fulfill it, so you should learn the din. And the Chafetz Chaim disagrees. He says, he doesn't quote the Mabit, but he quotes all the Rishonim say that. That's only by Karbonos. So that's, he quotes this Rashi in Bava Metzia, that Limud of Kochim has a Talmud Bavli on it. Why? Because it is halacha lemaisa, because when you learn, it's considered kilahikra of Karbonos. So that is halacha lemaisa. But if you have to decide which mesichta to learn, so first you give the kedimah to those mesichtas that are negeh halacha lemaisa, that you have the double kiyum. The Chazanish was pushing a lot against this attitude of that was instilled by Slabotka. In America, Baron Kotler learned in Slabotka, so that's how he set up Lakewood. Rabbi Yaki Kamenetsky was in Tervadat, that's how he set up things over there. And Rabbi Rudiman Baltimore also learned in Slabotka. Why you? There were some people from Slabotka, but the ones who set up the yeshiva were not from Slabotka. So they, YU was a combination of two different yeshivas on the Lower East Side. One of them was called Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim is the name of Valozhin. That was the name of Valozhin yeshiva. Valozhin, they learned all the mesichtas. And when I was a student in yeshiva, Lo Yeshiva learned Sanhedrin and Brachas and Shabbos, other Masechtas also. We learned the seven Masechtas also, but we didn't give Kedima to the seven Masechtas. Other rabbis should give Kedima to the Masechtas that are more halacha l'maisa. They used to ask the, that's what they have in the biographies of the Chazon Ish. They used to ask the Chazon Ish, he's sitting and learning all day long. Doesn't it grate on his nerves? What does he do for diversion, to have a little entertainment? He said, the boys from Panevish come and they talk and learning. That's his entertainment. He said, it's a joke. He said, it's a leitonis. They say, tulpulim. They don't know bottom line what halacha. Everything they're saying is wrong. He said, that's his diversion. That's his entertainment. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's a bad simon. The disciple has a sefer about how to learn. So he says, the first time you learn a Masechta, you should ask someone who already knows the Masechta, which are the important Tosfos and which can you skip the first time? Every so often there's a Tosfos, they have a contradiction between this Gemara and the other Gemara, then they'll have a whole Arichas on the other Gemara. It's not going to get into our Gemara. You have to touch up the other Gemara. It's a steer. How can the Tana say that? And the other place says something else. And he said, there were two Rabbi Babachanas, there were two Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseres, a historical Tosfos. It's not going to get into this Gemara. So the first time you learn the Masechta, you're not mechuyev to spend time. A lot of times, these tosfos will eat up a lot of time. It's not relevant to the daf that you're learning. Very often, when Rabbi Soloveitchik would give the shiur, a student would ask a sharp kasha from the other Masechta. There was a murderous kasha. Rabbi Soloveitchik would have a lashon. This kasha doesn't bother me. Why doesn't bother him? It doesn't bother him now. We're learning this Gemara now. Yes, can I go to kasha? How does it stim with the other Gemara? The first time you're learning Gemara, you have to figure out pasha pshat over here. Rabbi Soloveitchik did not. He had the attitude. He's not interested in reading every Rishon. If you're going to read every Rishon on the Masechta, you won't get to that base on the base. You won't get anywhere. That's ridiculous. He said he's only interested in learning Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam because these are the three Rishonim have all upshots. And when you learn, there's always a stira in the Gemara. They say when Rabbi Soloveitchik was a candidate for the Rabbanus in Tel Aviv in 1935. And so they invited him to give shiur in a different yeshiva. So he gave a shiur in one koilo. So he said, the Gemara zakt. And before he said what the Gemara said, someone screamed out, Sado a Gemara fakert. Before he even said what. It's always true. There's always a Gemara fakert. Whatever Gemara you're going for, there's always a Gemara fakert. So the whole idea of learning is to figure out how to be miyashav all of these, how to be miyashav all the stiras. So Rashi, Tosfos, and Rambam have on all of shas. So where Rashi has a shas, he has to deal with the other Gemara. You've got to look at Rashi over there. But if you're going to have a Yad Ramah, we don't have the Yad Ramah in all of Shas. So Rabbi Soloveitchik wasn't really interested in learning. If there's a famous Yad Ramah that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, or there's a famous Rashba, famous Ramban, okay. He would consider figuring out a Melchames. That was by him, that was like climbing Mount Everest. That was an accomplishment. To figure out a Melchames, because the Melchames quotes from all over Shas, so you have to know which Gemara is he quoting, what does it have to do with our Gemara? So that he would always enjoy learning our Melchames. But he wasn't interested in reading all the Rashbas and all the Rambans and all the Ritvas. If there's a famous Ritva, so he's going to talk about it. But it wasn't. He discouraged us from looking at all the Rishonim. There was one student in the Shia who always used to get under his skin. So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to scream, will you stop bothering me with your, what do you say, Tosfos Harash? The Miri, he always got out. Will you stop bothering me with your Miris? He wasn't interested. The Miri never shows you how to learn the Sugya. It just tells you there's a Shita like this and a Shita like that. Rabbi Soloveitchik wanted to learn the Sugya, how everything comes out from the Gemara. So that's why he was always angry, why they're hacking him with Miris. You can't learn everything. So you have to pick. In advance what you're going to cover. More important is to cover more ground in the Gemara. When I was a student in Yeshiva, so Rav Shach was writing all of his letters at that time. So he used to hang up the letters in the Beis Medrash. So Rav Shach published during his lifetime several collections. There are a few volumes, collections, thin volumes, collections of letters. And one of the volumes has three or four letters on the same thing. Why they don't cover ground? It's scandalous that they only learn 50 blot a year in Yeshivas. Halavai they would learn 50 blot. They learn 3 blot. 3 blots. Ridiculous. The whole year they learn 3 blots. To quote Rabbi Moshe Weiss, it's a prescription for Amaratzis. They're never going to know how to learn. What are they learning 3 blot? The whole idea of learning is you have 1,001 dinim, It looks like a jungle, so you have to figure out which dinim are connected, which dinim are not connected. A derech. A derech means you have a jungle of 1,000 trees. Where's the derech? How do you get through? But you only have 2 blot gemara. You only have 5 dinim. So what are you analyzing? What is there to analyze? Analyze this to figure out which dinim are connected, which not, like the Balamor wrote. Balamor has our sagas on the reef all the time, and then at the end he has a sefer Hatzova. We don't have it printed in the Balamor. On the bottom of there, we have it printed in the Tmim Day. There has the Tshuvas of the Rabbis, so they have the Sefer Hatzava, and it has Mohammed. The Mohammed disagrees with the Balamor there too. So he has a shtick, the Balamor has a shtick, just like the Yugi Mumina Shatarid Rash Hashem, how to read in between the lines in the Chumash. So too, the Yugi Mumina Shatarid Rash Hashem, how to read Gemara. So he gives you a few klolim. It's not how to read in between lines. Klolim, how to read Gemara. So he points out one of them is very important. A lot of every so often you'll find the exact same lashon appears in different places in the Gemara, and it doesn't mean the same thing in all the places. The Masoras HaShas will give you all the cross references where the exact same expression appears, and it doesn't mean the same. Like Zosam Eres Abedivi Gufa Konei. So they said Gufa Konei doesn't always mean the same thing in the Gemara. And a lot of times you have tinim in different mesichtas, totally different lashonis, but it's exactly the same din. So the Balamor says you shouldn't be misled by the lashon on Gemara. You should always try to be medayik to the lashonis, but sometimes you have the exact same idea with a different lashon. Sometimes you have the exact same lashon, and it doesn't mean the same. You always have to go to analyze what's going on. They quote in the biographies, they quote the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik had a few sons. So he encouraged his sons, they shouldn't dare to say a svar and learning before they finish all of Shas with Rashi, because every discipline has its own self-contained style of logic. And common sense logic doesn't always work in chemistry and physics and biology. It doesn't always work in halacha. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. You can't just say a svar. You can't just say a svar. The svar has to be based on Talmudic logic, and you have to know Talmudic logic. So that's what he said. His children shouldn't dare to say a svar in learning before they cover all of Shas with Pirush Rashi, to know what is Talmudic logic. It's interesting, there is a Sefer Chut HaMeshulosh, a collection of the Tshuvas of Rav Chaim Volozhin, three generations. Tshuvas of Rav Chaim Volozhin, I think two of his sons-in-law, one is Rav Lezer Richa, Rav Lezer Yitzchak, and Rav Hillel. So nobody reads the second and the third part. Whoever reads it, reads only the first part. So Rav Chaim Volozhin has, they have around 20 Tshuvas by Rav Chaim Volozhin. So he has a style that he writes at the end of a Tshuva. He'll write quite a few, about half of the Tshuvas. Kel emes, dosan lana teres emes, bilti alhu emes einenu. Emes is an important thing in learning. The bachur and the yeshiva often will disagree with each other, pshat and gemara. So even if, it happens very often, even if one bachur will realize that his charus is 100% right and he's 100% wrong, but the minig olam is improper, they'll still stick to their, they won't give in. They won't admit that their pshat is wrong. They'll always insist that their pshat is right. So that's not right. The Gemara points out the Pasuk in Mishlei refers to Liman HaTorah's Emes. Emes Kenei Val Timkar. The Gemara says that Pasuk in Mishlei goes on learning Torah. The Rambam quotes that Gemara. The Rebbe is supposed to teach Torah Ma'aneh B'chinam Afata B'chinam. The Pasuk says in earlier in Chumash Dvarim. Ve'ed limadati eschem chukim mishpatim kashat tzivani Hashem alakoy. So the Pasuk Pshat is, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I taught you the Torah the way the Baruch Hashem told me I should teach you the Torah. I did what he told me to do. And the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. I taught you the Torah the same way the Rabban Shalom taught me the Torah and the same way I taught you the Torah. Just like when I was on Hasina, the Rabban Shalom didn't charge me tuition, so to what taught you the Torah, I didn't charge you any tuition. I remember on one occasion about Cardinal Lustiger once came in. This was before 9/11. When people could walk into the yeshiva and roam around whenever they wanted. Now you can't walk in. So a Cardinal Lustiger came in plain clothes, and he was walking around the building. He was a Jew who was, his parents were not religious at all, and they gave him over to Christians to save him during the war. And then the parents adoptive parents converted him, And then he worked his way up. He was the cardinal of Paris. So he came into the yeshiva, was walking around. And he came in the morning, and he saw all the classrooms, the rabbeim were giving shiur. He saw on the blackboards there were equations, mathematics, and physics, and chemistry, and everything. So he realized the same people who learn Gemara in the morning learn in the classroom secular studies. So he was wondering, how come by them in Europe, whoever goes to university to take secular courses doesn't go to theological seminary? Whoever goes to university doesn't go, they don't become galochim. So he's wondering, how come by us there's no stira? How come by them there is a stira? So they're simple to root sim, because we have the true religion, and they have what is our. The same God who made all the rules and regulations in chemistry, physics, and biology, he's the same God who gave the Torah, so there's no stira. By them, there's a stira. Whoever goes to university knows that the whole thing is baloney, the whole thing is avodah zarah. And another teretz he can give, the first teretz is also true, another teretz, they have to take an oath of celibacy. Meshuga daf mezayin. We don't take any oath of celibacy. Some of them take an oath of poverty. Meshuga daf mezayin. You have to take an oath of poverty. But he didn't think of these teruts. It didn't occur to him. So the only teretz that occurred to him is, what do we have that's different? What's the difference between a yeshiva and a Catholic theological seminary? The only difference he noticed was that we learn b'chavrusa. So he thought that's the secret. So he went into Dr. Lamb's office. Dr. Lamb is still alive. He's still the president. Dr. Lamb gave his life for the yeshiva. You should all be makhe type. He gave his life in the yeshiva. So he was never in his office. He was arba confessorates, raising money for the yeshiva. He was in Europe, South America, wherever. He went all over. Bimikre, that day, happened to be in his office, and it happened to be free. So he comes in, he asks the secretary, is Dr. Dalman, he's in. Can I speak to him? She says, yeah. She didn't know who he was. She says, yeah. So he lets him in. So he asked Dr. Lamb, it's a long time, he asked Dr. Lamb, he'd like to bring a group of cardinals from Europe. They didn't speak English, they only spoke French. They all spoke French. And we didn't speak French. So he wants to bring a group of cardinals to the yeshiva, and we should explain to him what the Chavrusa system is all about. He thinks that's going to solve his problem. He thinks if he's going to introduce the Chavrusa system in the Catholic seminaries, then they'll get more people. So Dr. Lamb, what had Breras? So what's going to say? No. So he said, okay. So they bring them. So a couple of times, I think it was less than 10 times, a couple of times, every year and a half, he would come. Then he passed away. So whoever was appointed, whichever Nochri was appointed Cardinal of Paris, felt that he yarshined the position of Lustige. So he used to be the Cardinal of Paris. He didn't speak English well at all. So he would come and give a presentation. The new Rabbi Soloveitchik's essay on confrontation. They knew it bal peh, so they knew we're not allowed to carry on any conversations about the theological issues. Not going to have any debate. Just talk about social things, other things. So every time they would come with some other issue. They would raise an issue, and each time, I remember once the Cardinal of Paris would come with his drasha prepared in English, and he would break his teeth to say it in English. And then the rest of the conversation would either be, they would speak in French, and I had a translator. We would speak in English, they had a translator, they would translate back. Every time they would come with a whole hot soil. Once the Cardinal of Paris said, we should join together, we both believe in the Ten Commandments, so we should join together to try to sell the Ten Commandments on the rest of the world, then it'll be good for the world. So Dr. Lamb was always mopsing him in the middle of his presentation. The Ten Commandments only for the Jews. The Galach said that we also observe the Sabbath, not the way you do, we observe it. So Dr. Lamb said, Shabbos is only for the Jewish people, that's not correct. Ten Commandments only for the Jews. Then another time he said, each time he came with a presentation, Dr. Lamb was always mopsing him in the middle. So another time he said, we understand that Rabbi Soloveitchik is the father of modern Orthodoxy. Modern Orthodoxy says you can live in the world and you can lead your life like everybody else. You don't have to go with payas and a long black jacket. You can dress like everybody else and do like everybody else. How can it be? You live like the goyim. And isn't it a contradiction? So you understand that it's based on the principle of Dina Malchus Adina. He wants to know, what does it mean, Dina Malchus? How can you lead your life like a goy? And be, So Daklem was mafsik and none. He said, Dina machosa dina just means you got to pay taxes. It has nothing to do with the style of living. And then he explained to him that we follow the same Shulchan Aruch that the Chassidim do. That's just the style. It has nothing to do with the religion. The way they dress and what they do for a living has nothing to do with the religion. We follow the same Shulchan Aruch. We do the same thing. That every time it was like that. So I remember on one occasion, the Rosh HaMedabrim thought he's going to be appointed as the next pope. A pope died, or retired, whatever it was, and they thought he was going to... Lamai said they didn't appoint him as the next pope because he was too young. If he would be appointed, he would be a pope for 50 years. So they appointed someone else who was much older, who will only be a pope for 5 years, and he couldn't do too much damage. But this Galuch thought he was going to be the next pope. So Daklaim had a long table in his office, and all the Rabbanim and the Galach were all sitting intermingled by the table. And this Galach sits right facing Dr. Lamb with a pad of paper and a pen. He says, tell me, how do you run this school? Tell me how you run the school. I want to know how we should run our seminaries. So how do you run this school? So Dr. Lamb has to think from the top of his head. So he says, well, when Moses was on Mount Sinai, God didn't charge him any tuition. That's how he starts off. And Moses says, just like God didn't charge me tuition, I'm not going to charge you tuition when I teach you. The Torah says, first thing, we don't charge any tuition for learning in the yeshiva. So the Galuch says, what do you mean? So how do you pay the salary to the Rabbanim? How do you raise money? They don't have any problem. They're loaded. They have more money than they know what to do with. How do you raise any money? So he said, Dr. Lamb said, we make Malava Malkus. What do you mean? Make fundraising function. They never heard of making fundraising without ungestopped money. Then he was telling him how we run the... So they thought the Harusa system solves the whole problem. They thought the Rosh Hashiva picks your Harusa and you're stuck whether you like it or not. You have to learn the Harusa. So he said, what if the boys don't get along together? So Lamb said, we don't pick the Harusa. They pick their own Harusas. When they have midterms, or they have finals. So that's the time to switch your chavrusa. If it doesn't work, I switch. They were stunned. They thought everything is... So the Gemara quotes this pasuk, Emes kenei v'altimker. Emes is the Torah. The Gemara says, Torah dechsib be'emes. You have to be careful. The Gemara says, Emes kenei, even though the yeshiva is not supposed to charge tuition, but if they do charge, emes kinei, you should pay money, even though it's a little bit shaloi kedin, you should pay. And that even though you paid in order to get your education, v'al timka, you should not charge. You teach the Torah to others. Even though you had to pay for your education, you shouldn't charge others. You should follow the din. So the Gemara speaks about the fact that the Torah is referred to as emes. So emes means it shouldn't be with politics. You have to say what the true din is. Last night, I'm half asleep now, because last night we got home, it was almost 2 o'clock in the morning. We went to a Sheva Brachas. I didn't know the Chosin or the Kala. I remember the Kala's father from 60 years ago in America. I didn't remember what he looked like even. So we went to the Sheva Brachas. So the Chosin, I knew the Kala's father. So the Chosin is a descendant of Saroy Devolitsky. He's a Chazanishnik from the Chazanishniks. So it was, the Kala's father remembered that I told him years ago that this Haroi Devolitsky put out a luach, and he writes all the minhagim. So in his luach, he writes that Achrimois Kedoshim, you have a haftarah for Achrimois that's questionable. There's a machlekes hatanoim and a mishnah megillah in the third perik. I permitted in the days of the tanoim, whoever got mafta can pick whatever Nevuah he wants to say, as long as it's Midyana Diyam, it has to have some Shaykhis. Either Shaykhis with the Parshas HaShavua, Sheb Ben Echemta, Tlas to Pur Anusa, or when there's a Chosin, so they would say the Ramokot, so we don't have the meaning anymore, that Haftar Kechosin, Nechaim Per, Hakalot HaDeke Lev, it's a Chosin, Midl Shev Simeon Mishnah, the Chosin would say that Haftar, that's coming up in a couple of weeks, Kechosin, Nechaim Per. Or when I think Rabbi Shreya Goyen passed away, so they appointed Rabbi Haigoyen, his son, to take over. So they said the first Perek and Yeshua. They said the Haftarah, that Shabbos, because it says Moshe Abdi Meis and Yeshua Ben Nun is taking over. So Rabbi Shreya Goyen passed away, and Rabbi Haigoyen is going to take over. You have to say Minyan Adiyam. So the Inyan of the Yomer, Achim Ma'is Kedoshim, is all about Gilui Arayis. It's in both Achim Ma'is and Kedoshim. So the Machlokes HaTanaim, is it permissible to say that Haftorah with the Navi complains about Ta'eris Yerushalayim? Hodas Yerushalayim is Ta'eris Sehagol, the Rabbanu Shalom tells the Navi, go give rebuke to the people of Yerushalayim. They all violate Gilui Arayis. So Rabbi Leizer says it's not right. You shouldn't pick that Haftorah to attack Anshei Yerushalayim. And we paskin that it's mutar. So Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out, even though we paskin against Rabbi Leizer, but the minig is where he came from in Lithuania, the minig is that they never say that Haftorah. You have a Haftorah that's printed in the Chumash that you never say. So when you have Achrei Mois Kedoshim together, so the minig usually is that you say the Haftorah of the second parsha. So here, I think this is Haftorah. Hodash Yerushalayim is Tavis as a Haftorah for Kedoshim. So when you have Achrei Mois Kedoshim together, the meaning is we don't say the Haftorah for the second. The two minhagim and the Abu Drama, they say the Haftorah from the first Sedra, the second. The common meaning is say the Haftorah from the second, except Achrei Mois Kedoshim, we want to be Choshish Rab Lezer Sheet. And then, even when you have, so we don't say it when it's Mechubarim and when it's separate. So very often, Shabbos Kedoshim will be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, they say Shemayim Kisi. It will be Erev Rosh Chodesh, they say Machal Chodesh. What do you do if it's not Mechubarim and it's not Rosh Chodesh and it's not there Rosh Chodesh? The Rav Soloveitchik said where he came from in Europe, the meaning was that they said the same Halokim Nekushim 2 weeks in a row. They wouldn't say the Haftarah. It's printed, it's a Ksiv Alokri. Haftarah is printed in the Chumash and we never say it because the Rav Lezer says you shouldn't say it. So Saroy Davolitsky put out a Luach 70 years ago, I don't know, a long time ago, 70 years, put out a Luach. And he quotes, Rabbi Schechter quotes, no, it can't be 7 years ago. It's less. I was a little baby 7 years ago. He quotes Rabbi Schechter, when I put out the first sefer, Nefesh HaRav, so I quoted Rabbi Soloveitchik said that where he came from, the meaning was they never said that after. So he quotes Rabbi Soloveitchik said, he quotes Rabbi Schechter said, Rabbi Soloveitchik has it in one of his own svarim. I just quoted what. So he quotes that I said that Rabbi Soloveitchik said like that. So he's an open-minded fellow, this Saroy Davolitsky. He quotes Rabbi Soloveitchik to explain what the meaning in Lithuania was. So last night at the Sheva Brachas, the Chosin was a great-grandson of this Saroy Davolitsky. This Rabbi D, his wife was murdered. And the D is Davolitsky. He's somehow a cousin of that. He's part of that family. When they went to England, so the Davolitsky didn't sell. So it's too hard a name, so they changed it to Rabbi D. But he's from that Mishpacha. That's what they told me. So this Saroy Davolitsky, they told me last night that after the Mechamet Sheshet Hayamim, he felt we have to celebrate Yom Yerushalayim. He didn't think we should celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut because that was just the beginning of Tzaris, that we have all the attacks at the beginning of the Mechamet. But he thought, this is Aschalta de Gula. So he wrote a whole essay and he sent it into one of the, there weren't too many Haredi newspapers at that time. They sent it into one of the Haredi newspapers. I heard of him in America. Many years ago, he was a famous and known as a Chazanishnik. So they sent it back to him. We can't print what you said. He was explaining why we should all celebrate Yom Yerushalayim. Then he sent it into another Haredi newspaper, and they also sent them Lo Yosechein BeYisrael. They're not going to print it. Apikursis. They're telling Saroy Davolitsky it's Apikursis that you're not allowed. Then he finally sent it into a third Haredi newspaper, a Shvacha newspaper. So they said, if you're willing to put your name on it, we're willing to print it. So he put his name on it, and they printed it. So this is Mamish Fekarai. This is, the Gemara says, Torah Dechsid Bayemeth. Torah is not supposed to be political. Unfortunately, in America and so all over the world, a lot of things in Torah have become political. It's not supposed to be political. Then also, Torah Dechsid Bayemeth, you're not supposed to exaggerate. Once in a while, they have a Chumra in Shulchan Aruch. So the people in our generation, they take every single chumrah under the sun to the extent that it's ridiculous. Chumrah gabi chumrah, it's ridiculous. Davni Nezer has in one of his tshuvas such a lashon. As a shaila, is a kohen permitted to go into a store where they sell matzevis, where there was a matzev that was once on top of a grave, and then the family decided to make it prettier. So they took off the old matzeva, they put on a new matzeva. So the old matzeva, they gave back to the matzeva store, so they have it in the store. So kohen is not allowed to be metame l'meisim, and there's one opinion that the matzeva is considered gerlo v'dayfik, so it's metame. Is the kohen permitted to go into the matzeva store because he's metame to the matzeva? So there are many tzadim to be mekel, because that kol tumish and nazir megalechal and akai muzu aleichem atzev is galu v'dayfik. Nazir is not megalechal aleichem. And the Pashto says that once you took the matzeva off, it no longer has tumah. Only calls man that it's serving the matzeva. So it's a shver Rashi in Eruvin that most people never heard of. A shver Rashi in Eruvin that says even after you took it off, the matzeva taken off in the grave, it's still medame. There's so many reasons to say that it's mutter. So someone thought that it should be awesome. So the Avnei Nesis says ein lanu legabev chumis agabi chumis. It doesn't. Chassidus Rebbe says it doesn't make sense to pile up so many chumas. So we live in a generation. People keep on piling up chumas on top of chumas to the extent that it's utterly ridiculous. So I consider that a big problem. Torah dechsid beyemes. Whenever you have an exaggeration, every exaggeration is sheker. Every chumra is really, sometimes you have a chumra d'osir l'dekula. Not sometimes. Every chumra is always osir l'dekula. If you're going to spend $150 for an esrig, you could have gotten a kosher esrog for $50. You could have given that $100 to tzedakah. So I usually buy the cheapest esrog that I can get, and I give the extra money to tzedakah. I give more money to tzedakah than many other people. It's not right. People make chumras, and they waste all of their money. That's mamish wasting. There's so many aniyim in the world. In America, there's so many aniyim all over. What are they wasting their money on? Their chumras. You have a shayla kasha, they throw it out in the garbage. Shaila. But if it's mutter, so it's a baltashchisi. What are you throwing it out in the garbage? That's not right. There is an interesting Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara tells around Daf Lamed Ches. So the Gemara says, Kfar Shocha Malchus Harishah. The Roman government sent two representatives to the Rabbanim that he should teach them Kol HaTorah Kula. We spend years and years learning in yeshivas from kindergarten. We don't know Kol HaTorah Kula. And the Roman government sent two representatives. They should teach them Kol HaTorah Kula like our regalachas. They didn't stay for 20 years. They stayed for a couple of days. So at the end of the project, so the two Goyish representatives said they're very impressed by the whole Torah. It's very nice religion. And there are three dinim that they're not happy about. One din is there in Bava Kamma. They said, that's not fair. If you darshan, so for Yehu means, so either means that both potter in both directions, the Nachri should be potter, the Yisrael should be potter, but they should both pay Nesek Shalom. How do you come up with such a drasha that Shosha Yisrael Shanagach Shosha Lakum is always potter, Shosha Lakum Shanagach Yisrael is always chayv Nesek Shalom, Mimanav Shach? So they didn't see a justification. They saw that it's just a discriminatory din that the rabbis made up, discriminating against the goyim, and there's no basis in the Chumash. If we have a discriminatory din, but it's in the Bible, so it's not our fault. God told us that's the din. Then they had another din that they were not happy about. You're not permitted to deliver a Nochri baby on Shabbos because you're Mechal Shabbos. They're not happy about that. And the third din, the Gemara says. So then the Gemara doesn't tell the whole story. The Medrash has more. The Yerushalmi has more. So they told the Rabbanim that we're very impressed with the rest of the Torah. So when we go back to Rome, we're not going to snitch. We're not going to tell the Roman government. We're going to tell them everything is beautiful. Then the Medrash continues that the Rabbanim Shalom didn't trust them. So when they went back by boat, it wasn't overnight. When they went back by boat, they forgot the three dinim that they were not happy about. And they just gave the report. It's a very nice religion, and the Jewish religion does not discriminate against the Noch. So the Yom Shel Shloimeh has a comment on that Gemara. I usually don't look on the Yom Shel Shloimeh, but in Yerideya, in the second Chelik Yerideya, there's a Perek Simi Kuf Nunzayin Bat Yehorag Val Yavas on the bottom of the page. They quote this Yom Shel Shloimeh. They quoted Bikitzus. I looked it up. So the Yom Shel Shloimeh says, the Torah Shebaal Peh was not yet written down. There was no art scroll, there was no Gemara. There was only Torah Shebichsav. So why did they have to tell him the truth? Didn't they realize that it could be a sakana? They can kill all the Jews. They can kill all the Rabbanim. And he says, how did they learn Kol HaTorah Kula? How is it possible? We learn all our lives in Yeshiva. None of us know Kol HaTorah Kula. How could it be that they learned all the dinim? So he thinks that they came to Lechatchila, not teachers, Kol HaTorah Kula. They must have come to Lechatchila with pointed questions, like when Napoleon organized his Sanhedrin. So he asked them a list of questions, particular questions. If a Jew lends money to another Jew, can he charge interest? If a Jew lends money to a non-Jew, can he charge interest? Are you permitted, are the Jews permitted to intermarry with non-Jews? They came with a list of 20, 30 questions or so, pointed questions to see whether the Jewish religion discriminates against the Nochrim. So he thinks that was the case over here. So they didn't realize that they're coming to ask these questions. They should have told them a lie. It's an avera to tell a false halacha. You can't say pikuach nefesh. A suffix hakonos fash pikuach nefesh should be doicha. So in Shulchan Aruch, on the bottom of the page, in Kuf Nuzayin, they quote this. The Amshul Shlomo thinks that to falsify the din is yehoreg val yav. If you know the din is one way, and you misrepresented, if you made a mistake, you're learning, and you thought the din is one way, so you made a mistake. But if you didn't make a mistake, you know what the din is, and you misrepresented b'sheker, so he says, that's abizrahi of abizar, because we believe, he doesn't explain it fully, but it sounds like the Amshul Shlomo is deriving at this, we believe that Kolat, the Ramban writes in his Hagdamah to his commentary on Chumash, that Kolat Tarakul is Shmoisim Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chumash is a description of Elokus. Derech Moshel. Rashi on Parshat Mishpatim quotes a medrash like that. On the Pasuk, Elokim Inu L'Yodai, it says if a person killed B'Sheg, he has to run away to the right. You don't kill him, because it wasn't his fault, Elokim Inu L'Yodai. It wasn't his fault. Why does he have to move out from his house? Why does he have to go to the Aramaic? Not his fault, so he should be able to stay home and lead a normal life. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, there's a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel that says, Kashayayma hamashal hakadmoini merishayim yetzi resha. So what does that mean? So the Medrash explains, when the Ribbono Shel Olam needs someone to do some dirty work, they want to kill someone. So they'll pick a Rasha, who's anyway a Rasha, he'll do the dirty work. They'll suspend his Pri Rechavshis, and they cause him to kill this person. When they want someone to do something good, so they'll pick a Tzadik, Megaglam Schus Ayyidei Zakeh V'chalva Adei Chayev. If they want someone to do something good, so they'll pick a Tzadik, so they'll suspend his Pri Rechavshis, he's not interested in doing this, they'll cause him to do the good thing. So the Medrash has the Mashal. Someone did an avera, he deserves to be punished with the death penalty. So no one's punishing him. So they'll cause someone who's a bal avera to climb down a ladder. When he's climbing down, he falls down, he kills the other one. So the other one deserves to be killed. But why'd they pick me to do the dirt? I should be the one. It must be that I did an avera in the past, and I deserve a shtickl punishment. I don't deserve the death penalty, I deserve a shtickl punishment. So that's what the pasuk says, Alekim in Eliyada, they picked me to do the dirty work. Because migalgalim cholvai dechai. So Rashi quotes that pasuk, they picked the Rishayim to be the Shliach to do the Ro'o. So why is it called the Moshal HaKadmoini? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is the ancient one with the capital A. He was there before anything existed, before he created the world, Yesh Me'ayin. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam was there. What does it mean, the Moshal HaKadmoini? So the Chafetz Chaim has an essay about this in the Sefer Shem Olam. Chavetz Chaim wrote so much about Lashon Hara that people are afraid to read his Svarim. We know some of our best friends talk Lashon Hara, so we don't want to read the Chavetz Chaim Svarim. But he has other Svarim, not on Lashon Hara. He has essays on Hashkafa, beautiful essays. He interprets Midrashim and Agadat Gemara. It's Kedai, even if you don't want to read the Lashon Hara stories. So read the other essays. So he has an essay in the Sefer Shem Olam on this Gemara. So he says, what do you mean a Moshal HaKadmoini? It's a mashal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, "Fotografia balaz." I've never seen the emperor, never saw the king or the president of the country, but I saw his picture in the newspaper. I saw his picture on TV, so I know what he looks like. So I've happened to be in Warsaw, and I see that person. I know his picture, and he's walking with two security guards on the right and left. I can identify him. He's the president of the country because I saw his photograph. So the Torah, if you put together all the Tariq Mitzvah, the Torah is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu derech Moshel. So Rabbi Chaim Olozhin writes in Nefesh HaChaim also about this. We can't understand anything about Elokus. One of the Rishonim from the Middle Ages has the expression, Eli Daitiv HaYisiv. If I would understand what Elokus is, I would be the Ribbono Shel Olam. The only one who understands Elokus is the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. So the Ribbono Shel Olam has to give us derech mashal. If he would give us a mashal of what Elokus, we wouldn't understand one word of the mashal either. So the Torah is a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. Remember when I was a little boy, so I used to look at comic books. So there used to be a comic book. I was born in the middle of the war, before Pearl Harbor. So they had a comic book about atomic energy, a little book. So they had blue balls and green balls and red balls and white balls, and there's a proton, a neutron, an electron, a whole bunch. I don't remember anything already. And they said, when these two join together, this makes an explosion, the whole thing. So then when you go to high school and they teach you a little bit physics, that's a joke book. And then they teach you what physics is all about. Then you go to college, they say, everything you learned in high school, that's only a mushel. This is what it really is. Then you go to graduate school in physics, everything they taught you in college, only a mushel. This is what it really is. Then every couple of months in the New York Times, they have a new chiddush that some big person in physics came to the realization, not exactly the way everything they taught you in graduate school is just a mushel. It's really a dakas dikavart. It goes like this. Some dakas dikavart. So there's such a thing as a mushel. So the whole Torah, the Ramban writes in the Hakdam, he quotes from the Zohar. The whole Torah is a mushel of Elokus. That's how I think Rav Soloveitchik said the name of the Baal HaTanya like that. I'm not sure where it is in the drushes of the Tanya. I looked a little bit, I couldn't find it. My stomach is there. So he said, the Gemara said, one Tanya thinks that the mitzvah of Ben Sarma never was and never will be. The conditions are so far-fetched, never going to happen. One Tanya says, Bais HaMenuga never was and never will be. The conditions are so complicated, never going to happen. And one Tanya says, Zemini Dachas never was and never will be. It's so far-fetched. Why is it so far-fetched? Because the Gemara says, we have a city that has one mezuzah. So the din of Yerni Dachas doesn't apply because of Sarafta's called Shlola Ba'esh. They told me there are still cities in Eretz Yisrael that were founded before 1948 that still don't have one mezuzah. But the Tanan couldn't visualize that thing. It never was, never will be. So it doesn't make any sense. In America, each state has a constitution. The constitution was written 200 years ago, a long time ago. So every couple of years they have a constitutional convention. They touch up the constitution. The laws that don't apply. We don't have horses and buggies anymore. The laws that don't apply, so they delete them. So why does the Rebbeinu Shlom put in a din in the Chumash? It never was and never will be. It's never going to become. So you see from the fact that there are Tanaim and say that one or two or three mitzvahs possibly never were and never will be, you see that there's something more to the Chumash, not merely a collection of dinim. It is a collection of dinim. Every din that comes our way, we have to observe, not just the Moshel. But in addition to being a collection of 248 mitzvahs sesi and 365 mitzvahs lesesi, it's also a description of Elokus derech Moshel. Every mitzvah represents certain ideas, and these ideas can be acted out when we daven, when we put on tefillin, when we put mezuzahs up, when we keep kosher. Every mitzvah that we do, mitzvah masses, represents certain ideas and hashkafa. Then there are certain ideas which never come up halacha lemaisa, but it's necessary for the full description of Elokus, for the full mashal of describing Elokus. The Rebbeinu Shlom had to put in these dinim, even though they never come up in real life. So that's the Ramban and the Hakdam Techumish has like that. The Maharsha says on the Gemara in Brochas and Abchav, the Gemara says that how do we know from the Chumash that you have to recite Brichas HaTorah before you learn? So they quote the Pasuk, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havagodol Elokeinu. When you say Shem Hashem. So the Kangodla Yom Kippur pronounces the Shem HaFarish Kichzavai. Different opinions what the pronunciation is. The Tesis Yantam HaMishnah Yisuma has different versions. So when he pronounces the Shem HaFarish, it says, Hakanav Amam Debazar, Yikari Mishtaf Amvod, the Menof and Lapanayim, and everybody screams, Baruch Shem Kvar Mechusel Yomvod. Because it says, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havagodol Elokeinu, you have to show Kovod. You do Mishtaf Amvod, the Menof and Lapanayim, and say Baruch Shem. What do you mean you have to recite Brichas HaTorah when you learn Baba Kama? You can learn a lot of Blat Gemara. It doesn't have Shem Hashem there. Yivamas, the seven Mesichtas. You're not going to find Shem Hashem there. What do you mean Kishem Hashem Mekhah? So the Marsha says, no, it doesn't mean Shem Hashem. Aleph Dal Nunya. Kol HaTorah Kul, the Shemos of Shal HaKadosh. The whole Torah is a description of Elokus. Rav Chaim Volozhin has the same. He doesn't quote the Marsha, but it's the same as the Marsha. The whole Torah is a description of Elokus. So if the goyim come to ask me, what's the Jewish law? If a woman is giving birth to a baby, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. I'm going to say, b'sheker, that we're Mechal Shabbos, whether it's a Jew or a goy. If you're falsifying the din, it's not just an Aveir of Sheker. That's because Nefesh Deicher, the Aveir of Sheker, is not from the Gimel Aveir of Sachmur, as the Horeg Bal Yavra. But the Yam Shel Shlomo says that that's an Abizrai of Avodah Zarah. Because when we say what are dinim, what the dinim in the Torah are, that's a description of our God. That's a mashal hakadmoni. So if you're going to describe God differently, That's a falsification of what our religion, what our Kodesh Baruch Hu is all about. So he thinks that that should be a Horeg Vayavar, because Ab Yisrael Vavod Zarah. When we learn Torah, we should try to be careful not to make mistakes. And if we dispute with our Chavrusas, and we realize our Chavrusa is right, you have to give in. You shouldn't keep on arguing and insisting that you're right. Torah Dichsib Be'yemes, you have to be Yemesdik. And we shouldn't have exaggerations. Every exaggeration is a sheker. I know a woman where I go on vacation in the summertime in Tannersville, upstate New York. So this woman was always brought up as Lubavitch, and her father was a big tzaddik, I remember her father. Her father used to teach Torah under the communists. He wasn't worried about Sakonis and Fascists. And he survived. He's a big tzaddik. So apparently her father told her, the Lubavitch had come from Tilas Hashem, a different city. Nusachari. So her father told her, all the other Siddurim are reformer conservative. So when she came to Tannersville, the woman already has grandchildren. When she came to Tannersville, she's all my age, same age as me. And they had the normal Siddurim. She thought they were all conservative and reform. Her father said that the only one that's orthodox is Tilas Hashem. So that's an exaggeration. So she didn't fall in. But many of the others, Satmara, have exaggeration. The Medina is the worst thing in the world. And Lubavitch has a lot of exaggeration. So there are not now, there are a lot of Lubavitch and a lot of Satmara. They were brainwashed by their parents with such exaggeration that parents didn't want them to leave Satmar, to leave Lubavitch. So they gave them all kinds of exaggeration. Then they see some of the exaggerations are sheker. So they give up the whole religion. Just give up the exaggeration. No. They see sheker in Chilul on Avosenu. The parents told them lies. It's not a smart idea. It's not a smart idea. And it's also, you're not allowed to exaggerate. Every exaggeration is sheker. And Torah is supposed to be Torah d'chsebem. It's not supposed to be involved in politics. Whatever the din is, that's the din. They tell about, it's a true story. There was a Rav in Yerushalayim, I forgot the name, he ran a girls' school. So every Shnas HaShemitah, they had a shaila, whether they should tell the girls that they're not allowed to eat at home, because the parents rely on Heta Mechira. So he would always ask Reb Shlomo Zalman Reuerbach, and Reb Shlomo Zalman every time, every 7 years, he would ask Reb Shlomo Zalman would tell him that they have to, the school has to be careful not to rely on Heta Mechira, and they should tell the children even when they go home, they should be careful. Then after many, every 7 years, he asked the question. Next Shemitah comes, he asks the same question of Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman says, you can tell them they can rely on the Heta Mechir. So he said, what changed? He said, my wife passed away. What does that have to do with this wife passing away? He said, if I would say they can rely on Heta Mechir, they'll come and smash my windows. So it's Rachmanis on my wife. But my wife passed away. I hold they can rely on Heta Mechir. So I'll suffer. I'll say it in. It's very unfortunate. The Rabbanim they'll suffer. They say this story that years ago, Rabbi Yashin once said a kula about something about a cemetery, and they smashed his windows. The Kanaim smashed his windows. Rabbi Yashin, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. These are people who know how to learn. That's scandalous. The Balabatim are telling the Rabbanim how they have to paskin based on political consideration. Torah dechsid be'yemes. More emphasized, Torah dechsid be'yemes. You have to be yemesdik. This shul is mevak she'yemes. So it means you want to learn Torah. You should all have nachas from all of your children for many years to come. Everyone should be healthy, and you should all continue to learn. It's true. There are people in physics and chemistry and doctors and lawyers and engineers who know how to learn better than rabbis and yeshivas. Just psychologically, they're not cut out to be a rabbein, but they should taka put out svarim, and they should continue to learn. All of you should continue to learn. We should place a little more emphasis on covering ground. We should place a little more emphasis on learning Lasuk Yishmaitz, the Liba, the Hilchasa. We should try to answer Rebbe Kivega's Kashas also Hashem Yoreinai. Okay, that's also a mitzvah. But our concentration, our main focus should not be to answer Rebbe Kivega's Kashas. And when a person covers more ground, usually everything will fit into place. All the Kashas will be answered by themselves. Based on the context, we'll understand everything better. If you just learn the first 10 blot in the Masechta, there are a lot of dinim in the yeshivas, they brainwash the students into believing that the first 10 blot in every Masechta contain all the main yesodis. It's not true. There are a lot of yesodis and the last 10 blot also. You have to learn the whole Masechta. And Medrash has an expression, Mimerchak Tov Yilachma. A lot of times you learn Gittin from cover to cover. There are certain Hilchas Gittin that do not appear in Gittin. It appears only in the first Perek in Yuma. Tosfos was kind enough to quote it in Gittin. But if you just learn the Gemara, you won't know those din. And there you can learn Masechet Shabbos has 24 Prokin from cover to cover. You can learn Shabbos and cover to cover. There's a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Dalet or something, Pei Beis. A Tosfos over there never appears anywhere in Masechet Shabbos. And it's not quoted either, anybody in Masechet Shabbos. You have to know all the Gemaras in order to know, and once you know more Gemaras, everything fits into place better. Everything will be understood by context. Thank you very much.